Welcome to the Elks Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We're doing a Sunday strategy session here. This is going to be probably the final startup draft that I do of the season. So we're going to have this podcast basically planning for it. Next podcast will be a reaction to it. And then we're off and running. So, so some good stuff here. Again, this is Safe League, so it's two PPR for tight ends. It's super flex, start one quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, a tight end, a super flex spot, and then two flex spots. So you could start up to, you could start up to four tight ends if you wanted to. You could start up to five running backs if you wanted to. You know, again, I think most of the work is in the super flex format there, but a lot of premium at the tight end position really makes the position really interesting. So really lean into that. So goal of two supermax quarterbacks. Again, we're looking in the range of Mahomes, Allen, Herbert. I drew 103, so I'm going to get one of those guys, presumably, if I want to stay there, unless I'm bowled over with some sort of offer. Then I'm also taking a shot at Dak Prescott. I'm probably not going to get him if I sit at two. All right, if I sit at 210, probably not going to fall to me. But I'd be in the business of, I think I have a good shot at getting a guy like Russell Wilson, Matthew Stafford, or Deshaun Watson. That's kind of the goal there. Again, at 207 is the RDP for Andrews. So that's probably not something that's getting the 210. But that's a range of the draft that I'd be interested in maybe trading into, depending on sort of how that goes. Again, at this point, Stafford has an RDP of 311, Watson 312, Carr, Rodgers, Brady in the early fourth, mid fourth, and then into the fifth, respectively there, Cousins at the 4-5 turn. So again, I think about those guys in the sense of, hey, is this a situation where if I go Watson in the second or third, you know, what's kind of my pivot, right? That's really the thing that I came into this with, was if I want to go Watson, how am I sort of pivoting? Because I think 202 at 210 at 303, Watson's probably like, I'm sitting dead red there, would sort of be my thought. If he sort of gets to that range of taking him, again, he has a 312 RDP. So at 303, I'm kind of like, I will take him there. Depending on what the board looks like at 210, he's also in my, definitely in my range. So I need to plan a second leg of that if I'm going to sort of do that. Again, want to be competitive. And my blend of getting two supermax guys also combines with two top eight tight ends, and I think probably another quarterback or tight end in the first five picks, sort of my thought. We're going premium formats. We're going, we're attacking premiums. We're going scarcity, right? We're going at premiums and we're going at scarcity, right? We want, we want the combination there. We're going to address those. We're going to address them hard early. I'll say this. The only player that I can see myself drafting in the first five rounds that isn't a quarterback or a tight end is probably Christian McCaffrey. Right? If he gets there in that second, third range, depending on what the board looks like, I think he's a player that I could see myself drafting. But outside of that, in the first four rounds, I don't see myself probably addressing any position other than quarterback or tight end. I think probably in the first five, I will go five total quarterbacks plus tight ends. That would sort of be my aim there. So again, two top eight tight ends. That includes Kelce, Kittle, obviously Pitts and Andrews, who I probably won't be able to get in on, Waller and Goddard. I don't have a ton of like warm fuzzy feels about Waller. I'm probably going to look for him to fall a little bit more. When I'm thinking tight ends, I'm thinking Kelce, I'm thinking Kittle, and I might have to move around the board a little bit to make that happen. But if I sort of follow them up, one of those up with Goddard, I'm totally fine with that. You know, that's probably in that 410, 503 range, going for the second one of those would sort of be my thought there. So again, you Kittle at this point is at 403 in RDP, Kelce at 307. And then Goddard is all the way down at 601. Waller's at 506. So in that range there, that's really looking like fifth round. Hockenson's at 412 as well. So he could be an option there depending on how the board falls. So yeah, basically being on two of those guys essentially is the goal, with Hockenson probably being the last one that I'm interested in. Other goals that I have, basically four top 20 tight ends is sort of my thought. It's becoming a little bit less of an achievable thing now that we don't have Gronk. Gronk was kind of like a key component in that four top 20. So again, maybe it's three top like 15-ish guys, something like that, and then maybe another guy in the top 25 is sort of the thought there. It can be a little bit more flexible, right? When I went four in the top 20, that was really Gronkowski was a part of that calculus for sure. So when you look at tight ends now, I'm looking at guys, you know, Hunter Henry is like at 19, Alberto is at 16, Joku's at 17, right? Ertz is at 14, so he's one that's interesting. Gesicki Kitsidi's at 12, Ingram's at 22, right? So you start looking at that, Jelani Woods at 24. After that, there's a fall off. There's a bit of a fall off. You get guys like Dulcich in there in like the mid 20s there. But maybe four inside that kind of Evan Ingram line might sort of be the best way that I could think about it now, instead of it being like four in that top 20, which included Gronk. That number slips a little bit further outside of four in the top 20. And, you know, maybe there's a potential for a guy like Isaiah Likely to really vault up. You know, if he's available in like the 20s or something like that, like his in the past month, he's at 32. I suspect that's going to go a lot higher here in the last couple of weeks here based on the good camp. So I think that part of the position can really move around. Again, maybe a guy like Dulcich, who hasn't had a great camp, might slide a little bit as well. So some thoughts there basically on addressing that position and how I might go about it. 450 targets, kind of with the top four for this year. So people have asked me about this, and for me, it just sort of kind of clarifies kind of what I'm trying to do. I actually went down and I wrote like a whole list of guys that I'd be interested in outside of like the top eight rounds, because I'm probably not going to do a ton in the top eight rounds of wide receivers, maybe a couple. I would like to try and get two top, maybe like 25 running backs, you know, kind of in that Kamara range, something like that. You know, Zeke, right? Fournette, like those guys could certainly be interesting where they are at. That's seventh round for Fournette, seventh round for Connor. Zeke is late eighth, right? So you're sort of getting down there and that's pretty cheap. 512 for Aaron Jones. Maybe a little pricey for what I'm looking to do. I don't know if he gets back to me. Probably doesn't get back to me in the sixth. Kamara, late fifth. So we'll have to see how that unfolds. Maybe that's an area we try and trade down into if I'm trying to slide around the board a little bit. So we'll definitely be looking there. But yeah, I mean, if Fournette, if Zeke, if those guys sort of in that range are able to sort of stabilize the top two running backs, I think they're just super cheap historically. So I'm interested there. And then again, the four receivers in the 450 targets, those blend, right? And the reason that I think that they blend is I start looking at, all right, how do I address kind of five premium positions in the first five, maybe six rounds, a couple of running backs, and then what do I do at wide receiver? Well, like I want some production. Again, it doesn't have to be the first four guys that I pick, right? If I'm thinking about maybe six wide receivers, there might be a guy in there that's actually a productive or that's a rookie or a value guy, right? Maybe you just take the cheapest of a guy like Jahan Dotson at 10-12, for example. Christian Watson at 10-12 might be sliding as well. So like those are guys that are sort of on my board of like, hey, like they might be wide receiver threes, maybe something like that, where I actually take them in the order which I take them. But in terms of priority this year, guys that I'm taking afterwards are going to be higher, right? They're going to be just higher on my lineup board. So it isn't necessarily the first four wide receivers that I take have to be 450, but my top four wide receivers for this year are kind of top 50, and then our 450 is kind of the goal. And then if I can, you know, if I grab a couple of guys that are more assets instead of production based, that's the other goal there. So so big pivots, again, if I can get additional draft pedigree, that's nice. I'm willing at this point to trade additional capital, so I could do that as well. Like I'm willing to move a future first to if it's to not like a top 30 asset, it's kind of how I'm thinking about it. One of these premium players, I'm willing to do that. If I can come out of it with some additional capital, that's nice too. That's not necessarily as much of a goal as it used to be for me. And I think now we have a little bit more certainty as well on some of these positions and a little bit more knowledge about where these guys are going. So we have a little bit more confidence there and being willing to maybe spend assets in a way that we wouldn't otherwise want to do in like January, February, right? Because I do think the drafts in this time calendar, you know, in this range of the calendar, they're a little bit different in terms of A, what you're trying to accomplish, and B, what you're trying to, you know, and some of the risk that you're trying to avoid. Right. So, you know, guys earlier on in the offseason, like, for example, Gronk, right? We drafted Gronk and we're going to take a zero at that spot. Right. So, you know, there are those situations that happen. And that doesn't happen as much in August. You can have a little bit more confidence in some of the guys that you're playing that, hey, they're not going to get hurt in training camp. Like, there's some of that, you know, there's still plenty of risk in season. But there is, I think, a little bit more certainty that you have as we sit here in late August than early on. I definitely want to go heavy running back as well. If I can get, you know, 2x running back, something like that, to wide receiver, that's good. The way I look at it, you know, if I'm probably in the range of maybe like four quarterbacks, something like 4 to 6 tight ends, and then, you know, 6 wide receivers. So let's say that puts me around 16 guys or so. That would leave me room for 12 running backs. That's fine, right? I could see having a little bit narrower tight ends, wide receivers. I could see myself basically having somewhere between 12, probably 15 running backs, sort of be the thought. As again, as we get later down in August, some of these situations clarify themselves. So we have a better understanding and a better idea, you know, later on in RDP, what's going to be, you know, what's still actually drawing live versus what we thought maybe in, in May, for example. So guys like Jerick McKinnon, you know, might still be drawing live. Guy like Travis Homer might still be drawing live. Where you look at some of the other guys, not so much, you know, Kenyon Drake having a tougher time of it. You know what I mean? So you get some of that more, some more of that certainty, and it feels a little bit better in terms of trying to nab some of these guys that can be useful for us further down the line. Guys like Mike Davis, certainly interesting. Boston Scott, interesting as well. Samaje Perine, you know, where Jaylen Warren is a guy as well in the 20th round. Heck, Jeff Wilson in the 20th round as well. You start looking at these guys, and I think we have a better idea, better understanding of where the injury way guys might be. So those are really the things that I'm looking to accomplish. Again, so the big core group for me, 2 Supermax quarterbacks, 2 top 8 tight ends, 4, I would say, top 25 tight ends. We'll use that. It's an approximation there. We'll sort of see how that goes. Again, productive tight end sort of in that range as well. 450 is my target goal for my top four wide receivers heading into this season. Again, not necessarily the top four wide receivers on my draft order, but the top four lineup guys for this year. If I can get additional future capital, that's great. Not necessarily a requirement, but 2-to-1 running back to wide receiver ratio, something we're definitely trying to accomplish as well. So I think the big pivot points, again, it'll be Watson. Yeah, and then if it's not Watson, it's he'll probably Stafford, Russell Wilson as quarterback 2 would sort of be my thought. If it's Watson, I think I'm much more likely to make a top 5 rounds have 3 quarterbacks in it. Because I do want to contend this year, right? It's not something I want to punt on unless some situation clearly presents itself and I'm willing to sort of bail. I definitely want to be in the contending window this year. So, so that's pretty much how I'm viewing these the situation early on here as I get preparing for this draft. So I will finish up this draft and maybe I won't necessarily record when I'm totally done, but I'll give you an idea in next week's strategy session, sort of where we're at and some of the decision points that happened along the way. So that'll do it for this Sunday strategy session, one of the last Sunday strategy sessions of the off season. So one of my favorite segments of the off season. We have basically this one and the final one, and then we'll be done with them until January. So that'll pretty much do it for this edition. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.